Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, it is nice to be back here with all of you after my week of vacation. But I will admit, it was hard to come back. We went to Myrtle Beach and it was 80 and sunny all week long. Stayed in a nice hotel room. We got our feet in the sand. We saw some attractions. It was a great trip. And it was hard to leave. Also, anticipating a 12-hour ride in the car didn't make leaving any easier. You probably know the feeling. Now, you've probably been on a vacation you didn't want to end either. And it makes sense, right? I mean, if you could choose between being a beach bum and being the responsible person who checks stuff off to-do lists, I think all of us would pick beach bum. But sadly, vacations can't last forever. We've got to come back to reality. Even if you like that spot so much you decided to stay, you still couldn't live in the hotel for the rest of your life. You'd have to find a job and get a house and find a new grocery store and a new dentist and a new mechanic, all that stuff. Right? You wouldn't be on vacation anymore. You would just be moving, starting a new normal. And sure, it might be a little bit exciting at first, but the novelty would wear off real fast. Sort of like when the pandemic started. Right? We were told to stay home. And it was like we were forced to slow down and rest. For some people, it felt like having a little vacation at home. And it was kind of nice. We watched Netflix. We did puzzles. We did home repair projects. We did the things we didn't normally have time to do. But then the novelty of it wore off pretty quick, didn't it? We got to the point where we wanted the break to be over. We wanted to get back to familiar life. And today sort of feels like that day, since this is our first Sunday back together without masks and social distancing, right? This feels familiar, doesn't it? So in a way, even though we enjoy vacations and taking breaks, we also really look forward to going back to what we know. Like, even though we had a nice hotel room in Myrtle Beach, it was wonderful to sleep in my own bed again. The vacation can't and shouldn't last forever. But let's say you met somebody who was dead set against returning to the real world. Let's say this person wanted to avoid the way the world normally works. We might say this person was like a child with an active imagination, somebody who never quite grew up. In one sense, we might think the person was just naive or silly. Maybe we'd call them eccentric or strange. Or if taken to an extreme, we might just call them crazy. You would think they should wake up, right? Grow up, join the real world, get a job, that sort of thing. But what if that person were Jesus? In today's gospel reading, we hear about people who see Jesus' behavior and they think he's nuts. He's not fitting in with the rest of society. For example, in verse 21, it says, when Jesus' family heard it, they went out to restrain him. For people were saying he has gone out of his mind. Now, in the original Greek, the phrase for people were saying really says for they were saying, which implies that the they is his family. So it's more like, so when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. For they were saying he has gone out of his mind. The next verse says, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons. Now, why would these people be saying this about him? What has Jesus been doing that seems so crazy? How is he not fitting in with the rest of the world? Well, so far in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has basically healed a bunch of people and cast out demons. Of course, that doesn't sound too weird to us, but to them it did. The scribes think that in order to cast out demons, Jesus must be demon-possessed himself. And yes, I know that sounds ridiculous. And Jesus thought so too. That's why he basically laughed at them and said, how can Satan cast out Satan? But the scribes, though, were doing what we normally do when someone acts odd. They called him names. They dehumanized him. They treated him as an other. Shouldn't they be celebrating that he's healing people, though? I mean, why would this be reason to think that Jesus has lost it? Well, because this is not the way the world normally works. Yes, maybe Jesus can play pretend for a while and imagine that people are healed or that demons aren't powerful, but come on. Look at the world. People are still sick. There are plenty of evil forces in the world. Even now, life doesn't seem that much better than it did 2,000 years ago. And in some ways, it seems even worse. Jesus is saying these things and doing his things, and his family and the scribes look at him like he's a child who refuses to grow up. They're looking at him like somebody who doesn't want to come home from a vacation. It's like they're saying to him, Jesus, the world can't be like this forever. Yes, you might be all happy and cheery right now, but the real world is not all rainbows and unicorns. Open your eyes, Jesus. Pain and suffering and death win. Come back to the real world. I think this is also why some people don't follow Jesus today, or why they think the church is foolish. They hear about what Jesus did, but then they look at the world and think he didn't really make any difference. Or they look at us here on Sunday morning and think we're just playing pretend. They think faith is irrelevant. They think that we can't just imagine things are different when they're really not. Oh, but that's exactly why imagination is important. And why faith is important. Because they do change the world. We are not playing pretend here, folks. We are not naive or foolish or refusing to grow up. Instead, we are seeing things the way Jesus saw them. He was saying that sick people are not defined by their illness, and that possessed people are not defined by the evil spirits. Instead, they are defined by God. Jesus was giving people back their humanity and their dignity and their worth. He was saying that they are not bound by what society thinks of them, but rather by what God thinks of them. Consider it this way. In the way our world normally works, people are seen as valuable only when they produce something of value. Or people are seen as tools to just further someone else's goal. Or people are seen as just flawed and broken. I mean, we don't need to look too far to see how messed up humans are. We just need to look in the bathroom mirror. We know our flaws. And we know how we try to hide them from others. because we live in a world of prejudice and stereotypes and first impressions. We live in a world of grudges and past mistakes and regrets. It's just the way the world works. But according to Jesus, that is not the way God works. Because you see, in Jesus, the people he healed back then and all of you today are given a wonderful promise. You are no longer bound by those things that others say define you. You are not bound by your brokenness or your flaws or your pain. You are not defined by prejudice or stereotypes or first impressions. You are not captive to your mistakes or your sin or the problems that weigh you down. Instead, you are found. You are freed. You are forgiven. And yes, that might sound imaginary. It might not sound real. But that's only if you're coming at it from the perspective of the world. If you're coming at it from the perspective of Jesus, though, then this promise, this reality, this new life is more real than anything else. Jesus sees a new world for you, and he gives it to you. Jesus even goes so far as to say something like this. Imagine Satan, who thinks he's so big and powerful and tough, all tied up in a chair and unable to move. He's held hostage and completely powerless. He's like one of those really loud yippy dogs. The ones that want you to think they're all big and tough and strong, but they're really not. No offense to those of you who have one of those dogs. Now imagine me coming in and rescuing you from him. He's making all this noise and trying to make you listen, but just ignore the dumb dog. I've tied him up. I've rescued you. You no longer belong to him. You no longer need to be afraid of him. I've got you. You are mine. Plus, now that we have been set free, we get to help others live this new life too. Like for our graduates today. You guys are starting a new chapter in life. And it's exciting and new, and eventually the novelty will fade. But in this new chapter in your life, you have still been called to show others that Jesus gives them new life. And it won't be easy. You will be pushing against the status quo and people will think you're crazy. You will be bringing a message of hope to the world and people might think you're naive. You will be telling others about the life-changing love of God and the world might think you're nuts. But remember, that's the same way they reacted to Jesus. And he still brought new life to the world. So people might call you names. They might try to dehumanize you. They might say your ideas about the world can't fly. But if your ideas line up with the will of God, then you are like brothers and sisters to Jesus. There is nothing that can stop the good news from spreading. And it spreads through you. And so whether you're graduating this year or not, Jesus has imagined and brought about a new life for you. It is a life that is contrary to how the world works, but that's precisely the point. He sees something the rest of the world doesn't see. The world lives by fear and punishment and death, but Jesus brings joy and forgiveness and freedom. Even though we can't stay on vacation forever, we can certainly live in the world Jesus envisions forever. It's a world where Satan is tied up like an annoying dog, where all of us belong, and where Jesus is in charge. That is a brand new life, and Jesus gives it to you. Imagine that. In the name of the one who subdues the forces of evil and gives us new life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.